Well, good morning, Crossroads. So good to be with you this morning. My name is Ed Applegate. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm really excited to share with you a message today that God's been putting on my heart for a long time. But I first want to welcome you, especially if you're here for the first time. We'd love to know you're here. If you would text, "I'm new," to 797979, we'd get that conversation started. Love to kind of connect with you and hear your story and that kind of thing. And there's three ways to give around here. You can give online, you can give through our app, or you can give through the offering boxes at the back. And we just thank you for just faithfully supporting the ministry here, and just what God is doing through us is incredible. And just love and so thankful for your constant support that way. Well, I love watching my kids sleep. One of my jobs after I've locked up the house at night is I go and check on the kids, and I have five of them, so it takes me a little while just to kind of go through the rooms. And I, you know, and it's always fascinating to me, like, to see the different ways that they're laying, you know. It's like they're dreaming about Twister in their sleep or something, and it's, their bodies are all contorted in really funny ways. I'm like, how do you even sleep like that? You know, slobber on their pillow and that kind of thing. But, you know, the thing that always strikes me the most about it when my kids are asleep is how peaceful they are. I mean, after a day of running around and screaming and crying and whining maybe and bickering, and you're like, they are at peace. And I mean, the peace that of a sleeping child makes the screaming of that day seem almost unbelievable. Just to watch them at peace. But you know, when you stand there and you watch somebody sleeping, you go, man, sleep is a really bizarre thing. It's kind of weird. Have you ever thought about how weird sleep is? I mean, you're there in this like comatose type state for hours on end, no control over what's going on around you. I mean, you might remember days of going in the bus and having somebody put toothpaste on your face while you're asleep. I did that, but no, sorry. But it seems like this pointless, useless activity that we have to do. And yet, as useless as sleep is, when sleep is vital, when we go to sleep, things inside us go to work. Our brain goes to work, and unconsciously it starts to, you know, filter what happened that day. It organizes our thoughts. It locks in things that we've learned, and it even flushes out the toxins that got in our brain during that day. Believe it or not, as you sleep, your brain flushes out your whole brain with spinal fluid, bringing out all the toxins that eventually would lead to dementia if they just stayed in there over time. And so you literally wake up with a clean slate in the morning after having a really good night's sleep. But if you don't sleep, those toxins stay in, you can't concentrate, our memories get clouded, we get more easily angered, our health and our productivity deteriorates. So sleep is vital. And we can't delegate sleep out. Can't say to somebody, hey, would you catch some Z's for me? I'm kind of behind. I got a lot of work to do. Would you go to sleep for me so I can just keep on going? No, you can't do that. You have to sleep for yourself. So as frustrating, as backwards it might seem, in order to be healthy and be productive, we have to pause and stop and sleep. We're ending a year of amazing things that God has done for us as a church. Seeing hundreds of people rooted themselves and rooted. We've seen 257 people get baptized this year. Praise God. Saw hundreds of thousands of dollars paid off through FPU in debt. We've heard series like The God I Wish You Knew, and looked at books of the Bible like Colossians and Hosea. And hundreds of people have been helped through things like Love Manteca and homeless showers and Thanksgiving meals, just to name a few. It's been an awesome year, and I can't wait to see what we as a church, what you as a church rise to in 2019. But in the midst of this, there's something that we have to do for ourselves. Something that, like sleep, we can't delegate out. And it's so vital to our lives, it's more important than any other activity that we do. It's more important, believe it or not, than sleep or food. which I know if you're a teenage boy is like, that's completely baffling to you right now. So, would you like to know what it is? It's not sexy at all. It's taking care of your soul. It's taking care of your soul. What is your soul? Your soul is that part of us that makes us us. You see, I know my body isn't me. I know it's just a tent that me is in. My brain isn't me in the sense that it stores knowledge, but I'm much more than what I know. My will, it directs what I do, but frustratingly, even my will leads me to do things I don't want to do. Our soul is our center. It's that deepest part of us that makes us us. And the thing about our soul is that it's super needy. It seems no matter what we do, what we say, how many Snickers we eat, our souls are never satisfied. Never at peace. Like the great philosopher Mick Jagger said, I can't get no satisfaction, right? You see, our souls are like this whining child that's pulling on our leg. We can ignore it. We can shake it off. We can lock ourselves in the bathroom, hoping just for a few minutes' peace. We can fill our lives with busyness and activity and vacations and food and drugs and social media likes and hoping that something, that we could arrange our world in just such a way that just for a moment, it would be, if not satisfied, at least it would be silent. And yet, just when we think we've accomplished it, there's a banging on the door. And our soul is crying out again for satisfaction and peace and joy. Jesus said, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? And he isn't just talking about eternity here, that we could spend our whole lives in pursuit of something and miss out on eternal life, which is certainly a possibility. But he's also talking about our life now, that here and now we could have everything, we could have the whole world, and yet we know it is no good if our soul isn't at rest. And yet we persist. We deceive ourselves. We try to arrange our lives to buy some peace for our inner world. Just imagine for a moment if you could have a satisfied, peaceful soul, an alive and yet peaceful soul. How different 2019 would be. You'd be a strong, patient person. We'd make decisions with integrity. We'd live life on purpose. Even in the midst of a chaotic outer life, our lives would be centered, strong. We'd walk with hope and peace. That's the kind of life God wants us to live. That's what He wants 2019 to look like. That's what I want it to look like. You turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 46 or use the Bible apps. We read it earlier, and as we go into 2019, Psalm 46 is a great place for us to land as a congregation, a great place to commit ourselves going into a new year. You see, because the psalmist says there is a place of peace. There is a place of satisfaction, that even in the rages and the storms of life, our souls can be still and at rest. And the big idea of this psalm, he makes it really clear. He says it twice. He wants us to know this is his main point. It's verses 7 and 11. He says this, "The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And that might be a verse to commit to memory and to live with all of next year. To write on your note and put it in your pocket and carry it around with you to remember. You see, because one of the chief enemies to our peace and our joy is our fear. The what ifs of life and the going alone to being unprotected. And the psalmist here wants us to know, to deeply know who God is and that He's with us. He says, "The Lord Almighty is with us. And when he says the Lord Almighty, what he's saying is, in some translations, it says the Lord of hosts. But the translation literally, it means the Lord of the angelic forces. The Lord of the angelic forces. And when we're talking angels, we're not talking some, you know, pansy guy sitting on a cloud playing a harp. That's not what an angel is. An angel is a soldier, buffed, carries swords. They are incredible beings. And our Lord is the Lord of them. You know, we have a name for our president, the commander-in-chief, right? He is the commander-in-chief of all of our military, the most mighty military in the world. It's quite a title that at his command, all the military of the world, of the United States, moves. And yet our Lord is the Lord of hosts, the Lord of angelic forces, and at his command, angels move. Angelic hosts, troops and troops of angels, and he says he is with us. Man, that sounds way better walking through the battles of life with the Lord Almighty than the way I try to do it so often and say, hey, I got this. But he not only says he's an almighty power, he also says he's a fortress. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Now, a fortress sounds like a great place for a soul to be at peace. You know, I know I don't sound it, but I'm British. And I wish I did sound British, because then you'd think I was a lot smarter than I am. But I sound American, so there you go. But I've had the opportunity to walk in a lot of fortresses in England. I mean, some incredible, incredible buildings. One of them, the most famous perhaps, is called the Tower of London. It looks like this. It's right in the heart of London. It's this incredible, incredible tower, fortress. And when you walk into it, you're just stunned with how enormous this thing is. Its walls are 90 feet high. And as you walk through the gate, you see these walls and how thick they are. They're 15 feet thick. You can't put your arms to reach the edges of the wall. They're so thick. That's a fortress. Built in 1078, so 1,000 years ago, okay, basically. And it's withstood all of that time. That's what I'm talking about. We knew how to build them in those days, right? And if you're an enemy coming along the river, it's built right on the river, you're going to come up to that fortress and you're going to go, I don't really fancy our chances, boys. Let's turn around and go home, you know? And if you're inside it, I mean, when you stand inside that thing, you feel invincible. You feel sheltered. You feel protected. That's what it feels like to be in a fortress. How greater a fortress is our God. He's the Lord Almighty. He's a fortress. A place of peace and security during the potentially soul-damaging battles of life that go on around us. Verse 1 of the psalm, he says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. He's a refuge, a safe place. He's a strength for the battles of life that we walk through. He's ever-present. He never leaves. He never takes a break. Therefore, verse 2, it says, therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, I don't think there's a more terrifying picture than if this ground right now opened up beneath us and we were all falling into it. And that's what he's talking about. And he says, therefore, we will not fall, even if the ground opens up beneath us. The Lord Almighty is with us. He is our fortress. In the next verses, he says that the people of God are like a city refreshed by a constant river. It says, verse 4, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The earth can be in disarray, and yet we can know that He is our fortress, He is our river, He is our help, He is our commander-in-chief of angelic forces. Imagine walking into 2019 with that thought. But here's the thing. See, we can know this in our brains. We can know this in our head. We can intellectually accept this. And that's a whole different ballgame than accepting it here in our hearts and knowing it. You see, I can talk to you about the Tower of London and how amazing it feels to be inside this fortress that has stood for 1,000 years. But until you go there and experience it, you don't know what it feels like. And God doesn't want you just to know and to hear about what it means, to know it up here in your head that He is your Lord Almighty, that He is your fortress. He wants you to know it 18 inches deeper in your heart, in your soul. He wants you to experience Him. He wants you to know, to know. In verse 8, the psalmist invites us to look ahead to a day when God will bring this world to an end. And he says this, "Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations He's brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, 'Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.'" See, there's a time that's going to come when the raging of this world, when the wars will cease, when the pride of the human race thinking we knew what life was all about will be shown to be foolish. And into this chaos, into this warring of greed and racism and lust and power trips, God will appear and He'll say, "Quiet, be still." And just like Jesus did that day in the boat in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and He stood up in the storm and the waves and He said, "Quiet, be still." And the waves turned to glass and the sun came out. So that day in the future, everything will cease. Everything will stop. And something will happen in that moment. Everyone will know, not just here, but here, that He is God. The reality of who He is will hit home in the entire human race. No longer will anybody be able to ignore it. No longer in the hustle and bustle that we create to hide our pain will we be able to try and satisfy our soul with something else. We will all know. And for some, that will be a moment of dread. For others, who by faith and not by sight have been waiting for Him and relying on His grace, that'll be a moment of peace. And finally, He's here. But for everyone, it will be an amazing, stunning realization as God says, "Be still and know I am God." But God isn't just saying it then, He's saying it now. He's saying it to you, He's saying it to me. "Be still and know that I am God. Enter my fortress, know my peace. Take me into the battles of life with you. Be still and know that I am God." And yet, oh my goodness, how hard we find it to be still. At least I do. You know, we have so much to learn about being still, to pausing. How I need Him to say to my heart, "Be still. Be still and know." You know, sometimes when I want to spend time with God, I sit there and in my soul I feel like a toddler throwing a tantrum. You ever experienced that? I don't want to stop. I don't want to be still. I want to hurry and hustle and get on with the things, doing it my way. There's so much to do. I want to be the hero. I don't want to pause and be still and be with God. And yet He calls to me Be still. Quiet, Ed. Know me. I'm your fortress. In your hurry, in the storms that raise around you, you will never know me unless you stop. I don't know what 2018 was like for you. We faced a lot of storms in our family, and man, some of those storms, I could have done a lot better job. In 2019, I want to be still and know He's God. Do you want that too? We're in the craziness and the challenges that whatever we call life, whatever is going on in our outer life, our inner life, could have peace. As the old song says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. But it's not just peace that we forfeit. When we're not still enough to know He is God, we miss out on living for what really matters. Author and pastor John Piper wrote this, one of the reasons that we invest our lives in some insignificant ways is that we never become still enough to let the great realities hit us. We never become still enough to let the great realities hit us. You see, being still and knowing He is God does for our soul what sleep does for our brain. See, if we pause with God, we'll clean out the toxins of sin that is destroying us and eating away at us. We'll reorder our lives around His reality. We'll find the joy, the peace that comes from knowing that God is our fortress. And we'll be ready to live in an insignificant way. But to do that, we've got to be still. To be still. You might say we must pause with God until we know He is God. You see, the goal of the stilling is the knowing. Knowing that He is God. We're not Buddhists who try to find peace through meditation and emptying their minds. But we, through our stillness, we draw close to our Father to find our peace in Him. But we must pause until we know He is God. You see, oftentimes I'm guilty of doorbell ditching God. Did you ever doorbell ditch when you were a kid? I never really had the courage to, so I don't have any great stories, but I feel like I doorbell ditch God so often. And what I mean by that is, like, I'll sit down to pray, and it's kind of like me going up to His house and ringing the doorbell. And He is so excited. He's been waiting for me to come over and have a cup of coffee with Him and spend some time chatting and listening and being in His presence. And so I ring the doorbell, but as soon as He opens the door, I'm gone. I've gone. I haven't taken the time to spend time and be still with Him. And how much I miss out on because of that. George Muller, who was a British dude in the 1800s, so he did sound smart, and he was pretty smart. He came to the realization of the importance of pausing with God. He was an incredibly busy guy. He was a pastor of a church, which is a full-time job in itself, but that was his side gig. His main job was taking care of orphans, and he had three orphanages that he oversaw, caring for over 10,000 orphans during his lifetime. He was incredibly busy, and there was always something to do. And yet, he came to a realization that he couldn't do life without pausing with God. This is what he wrote in his autobiography. He said, I found that the first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day was to have my soul happy in the Lord. The first thing to be concerned about was how I might get my soul into a happy state and how my inner man might be nourished. You see, he was incredibly busy, but he realized he couldn't do life well without a soul that was connected to God. He wrote, the most important thing I had to do was to give myself to the reading of the Word of God and to meditation on it, that thus my heart might be comforted, encouraged, warned, reproved, instructed, and thus, while meditating, my heart might be brought into experimental communion with the Lord. And my heart would be brought into experimental communion, into translation, that I might experience His presence. That he had to pause until he knew God was God. That God was with him. That God was the Lord Almighty. That God was the fortress for his soul. He wanted to be brought into experimental communion with the Lord. And what a difference that made for him. He said, how different when the soul is refreshed and made happy in the early in the morning from what it is when without spiritual preparation, the service, the trials, and the temptation of the day come upon one. Wouldn't it be great to talk like that? Come upon one. But he says, like, if I go into the day and I have temptations and I have trials and I have all these things, these people to serve and these orphans crying at me and the boss who always got on my neck and the kids who are just crazy and my husband is this and my wife is this, and how different it is when I walk into that with a soul that has peace with God. So going into 2019, here's my question for you. Going into 2019, would you commit to taking time with God each day to be still until you know He is God? Until you know He is your God? See, no one can do this for you. You can't delegate this to your pastor or your growth group leader or your grandma. This is you. This is you and the Lord. It's like somebody can't sleep for you. Somebody can't take care of your soul for you. How might you do this? Let me just, real practical for a few minutes, talk about Bible reading and prayer. When it comes to reading the Word, you know, you look at this big book and it's, you know, maybe hard to understand or hard to even know where to start reading it. I found something that's really useful is the YouVersion Bible app. There's information about it in your bulletin. It's an amazing app. It's free. It has thousands of reading plans that have little notes, that devotions that go with maybe the reading of the Word for that day and help you understand it and maybe think about, have some questions to think about that scripture and to pray about. It's really, really cool. So reading plans about parenting or marriage or reading through the whole Bible even or the whole New Testament in the 2019. Just there's some great ways that that can help you to have that daily time with God and to read His Word. And the cool thing about it too is that you can join a reading plan with your friends in that app. And so I've done this, and it's great. We're all reading the same plan together, and then you can make comments within the app, and everybody else in your little friend group can read those comments, and you can encourage one another in what you're learning and what you're learning about God. And sometimes that's exactly what we need when it comes to being still. I remember our daughter, Alethea, when she was born, when she started to crawl, that was it. She was done cuddling, you know. She was done sitting on our lap. She just wanted to go and do and be and gone. And we were just like, oh, and as new parents, we're like, well, we just want to hold her and cuddle her, and she just wants to be gone, you know. And that was great. I love her for that. But then our son Elijah came along, and he was a cuddler. He just like sitting with us and staying with us. And Alethea starts to go, gosh, I want some of that. And so seeing her brother, she started to learn how to be still and to cuddle. And I love, she's a cuddler now to this day. She's 11, and it's great. I love it. She'll just sit with us. Sometimes we need others to help us learn how to pause and be still. And doing a Bible plan like that together is a great idea. When it comes to prayer, prayer can be really challenging. But prayer is simply talking to God like you would with your best friend. I don't think there's anybody who thinks they're good at prayer. Sometimes I feel like my prayers just hit the ceiling and come right back to me. But there's a phrase that I found really helpful is that to pray until I pray. Pray until I pray. And what that means is I don't expect that as soon as I start praying, I'm going to sense that connection with God. But I'm going to sit and pray. I'm not going to doorbell ditch. I'm going to sit there for a while and pray until I sense that I'm praying and connecting with Him. in our rooted groups, we learn an acronym called PRAY, P-R-A-Y, and it's a good structure to learn just how to pray, what to pray about. P stands for praise, that we praise God, and maybe we've just read a scripture, and it tells us about God being our fortress and the Lord Almighty, and we say, Lord, thank you that you're my fortress. I praise you. You are the Lord. You're amazing, God. There's nothing in this world that compares to you, so we praise him. And then R is repent, that we repent of our sin and we commit to living our life for God that day. A is we ask for strength or help or courage or wisdom, or we bring a specific situation to him and say, Lord, I don't know what to do here. You know, help me or change this or whatever. And then Y is yield. Yield your life to him that day. You say, Lord, whether things go my way this day or not, I'm going to follow you. I yield my life to you. There's nowhere else I want to go. I want to be with you. That's a simple acronym. It's really helpful just to walk through as you're praying. It gives you kind of an idea of what to pray about. You know, if you're a commuter, man, what an awesome opportunity you have. You can use your car time. The Bible app will read the Bible to you. You can pray out loud. You can crank the radio and sing some praises to God. Lift your hands up. Keep your eyes on the road. But don't worry about whatever people think. You know, you never look as bad as the guy picking his nose next to you. But what an opportunity you have in your car to meet with God. Your car could become a holy place. Imagine for me what 2019 would be like if all of us became a people who were regularly still with God. Imagine what our souls would be like. They'd be full of him. We'd be more productive than ever in our lives with the things that truly matter. And the world, you know what? The world sits up and listens when the church knows that God is God. And that might be a funny thing to say, because isn't the church known for believing in God? Well, yes. But I think so often we as Christians limp through life knowing God is God here, but we haven't experienced him here. And our souls are dry and distressed, and we're not ready for the battles of life, and we're walking half-heartedly as a Christian. But when the church knows that God is God, when they've been still, when their hearts are steeled with his strength, the world sits up and listens. You know, some of us are going to have a diagnosis in 2019 that we don't want to hear. But what if instead of despair, we had souls of peace and hope because we know God's in control? You know, some of us are going to walk through incredible stress or hurtful relationships or parenting challenges that bring us to our knees or loss of jobs, or we're going to be mistreated. But what if we were still and knew God was with us in this storm? That he was an ever-present help, that he was the fortress of our soul. Not only would we have strength and a refuge, but this community would sit up and listen. In the next few moments, we're going to take some time to be still and pray, to give us a chance to connect with God, to do business with him. And I'm going to walk through the PRAY acronym with us, and I'm going to pray, do praise, and then I'll say some prayers of praise, and then give you an opportunity just silently where you are to praise, and an R, and so on. And use this as a chance. This is great, because I love this. I always loved it when the teacher said, let's do homework in class, you know. It's kind of like getting to do your homework. And we get to come into the presence of the Lord Almighty here. And at first, maybe, remember that pray until we pray. At first, maybe it's just kind of coming into his presence, but we're not going to doorbell ditch. We're gonna spend some time with him now, okay? So let's pray, bow your heads and pray with me. Father, what a privilege to come before you now and to bow before you, the Lord Almighty, to come into your presence. Lord, we praise you because you are so great. Lord, we look around this world and there are people of power, but none compare to you. Lord, there are places that look like refuges, but nothing is as safe a place as you. And we love being in your presence, Lord. It fuels us. It gives us strength to walk the battles of life. Lord, thank you that you love meeting with us. And we invite you and come meet with us now. Take a few minutes, just your moments yourself, just to pray. Praise God. Lord, we come before you, we repent. We've sinned. We've done things we wish we'd never done. We've said things we wish we'd never said. We've ignored you. We haven't lived in significant ways. Lord, forgive us for not being still and knowing you're God. Forgive us for just thinking that we just got to get on with things when what we're missing out on is you. Forgive us for seeking satisfaction in places you'd never want us to, because you know they're just going to end up destroying our soul. Spend a few minutes, just moments praying and repenting, confessing. Thank you, Lord, for your grace that you forgive us of all our past, present, future sin. That you took care of that on the cross. You want to be with us, connect with us. Lord, we lift to you things going on in this world. We ask for your help. We look at the news and we see terrible situations. We think of the war in Syria and Yemen and the way children and people are being treated so horrendously. Lord, we pray you would say, quiet, be still in those situations. Pray that you would open people's eyes to who you are. Lord, we pray for the leaders of our country and our state and our city and the incredible tasks they have and the decisions they have to make, that none of us would ever want to have to make decisions that they have to make. And I just pray you give them tremendous wisdom, that they would be people of integrity and would have your people in mind as they make decisions. We pray for our families, Lord. Maybe there's hurtful situations, difficult times. Lord, we pray you would say, peace be still to our families. That we would know as a family that you are God. We lift our souls to you. Lord, there are days where they're in disarray, days where they're lost. And just pray you would say, even now, quiet, be still and know I'm God. Take a few moments just to ask God for specific things in your life. Lord, we yield our lives to you. We say, not our will, but yours be done. Lord, as we look ahead to 2019, we don't know what the future holds, but we say, we're yours, and we will follow you. whether we are healed or not, whether you rescue us from the storm or whether you say, walk through it, my grace is sufficient for you, we will follow you whether or not. Whether the situation resolves or whether we walk through 2019 with that situation, Lord, we are going to follow you. You are our God, and we yield to you. We find our hope and our peace and our rest in you. Spend a few moments just yielding your life to God. Lord, you're the Lord Almighty. You're the fortress, and we love you. We love spending time with you. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isn't it so good to be with God? It's simple. You could do that every day. Imagine how different your days would be. Remember that verse we looked at the beginning of the message? The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The thing I didn't talk about in there is that phrase, the God of Jacob. The God of Jacob. Now, if you're an Israelite, if you're a Jew, you knew who Jacob was. Jacob was a messed up guy. He was a liar. He was a cheat. Cheated his brother out of his birthright. He's a messed up dude. And God says, I'm the God of Jacob. Isn't that cool that he's willing? I mean, we wouldn't want to associate with a liar and a cheat, but God does. Whatever our messed upness, whatever our brokenness, whatever our background, God says, I want to connect with you. He doesn't want to just be the God of Jacob. He wants to be the God of Ed. He wants to be the God of you. And as we get ready, we're going to celebrate communion together. And this is a reminder that God is the God of the messed up, the broken. He doesn't want anyone to try and save themselves because he knows we can't do it. He says, bring me your brokenness. Bring me your sin. Bring me your messed upness. I will be your God. I sent my son. This is how much I love you. I sent my son to take your place, to take the punishment that should have been yours, to clear the way, to wipe your soul clean so that you could be connected to me. He's the God of Jacob, and he wants to be the God of us. Isn't that cool? Yeah. So in a few moments, the ushers are going to pass the trays. There'll be two cups stacked. Just take one of those out and hold on to it, and we'll celebrate communion together. If you're not a believer yet here this morning, just let the tray pass. Don't worry. It's not a big deal. But maybe, just maybe, God was speaking to you this morning. In your soul, you're like, oh, that's what I long for. I want him to be my God. All it takes is a simple yielding to him. Say, Lord, I want you. Forgive me for seeking satisfaction in all other places. Lord, I give my life to you. And he says he will come and be with you, and you will be a child of God. And he will say, I'm the God of you. So we're going to celebrate that fact in communion in just a moment. And while the ushers pass, the band's going to sing a song. It's actually called Psalm 46. It's about the psalm that we just looked at. And I encourage you to read the words and maybe even to pray the words as we listen to it together. Oh, where else would we go? Where else? Where else could we find the Lord Almighty to go with us into the heat of battle, the fortress for our soul? And if we ever needed proof, it's right there in your hands that he's with us, that he loves us, he wants to connect with us. Because he didn't even withhold his own son for us, but he gave him so that we could be with him forever. So we take the firecracker, we remember Jesus' physical body was broken for us. So let's eat and remember. And with the cup, we remember the physical blood Jesus spilt so that our sins, our past, present, future sins could be forgiven and that we could know God and be with Him now and forever. So let's drink and remember Him. Father, thank You. Thank You for the gift of Your Son, that He came as a baby, humble, but worthy of all worship. And He came to die so that we could live with You forever. Lord, and as we're still and we know You're here, thank You. Lord, as we look forward to 2019, we don't know what the future is, but You do. But Lord, this is what we say. We say, I'm going to follow You. Yes, I will. I will follow You. For Your glory, that You may be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing together. Man, it's good. It's so good to preach to our souls to help and say, yes, whatever comes, whatever 2019 holds, yes, I will. Yes, I will follow You. There's no other place I'm going to go. He's my fortress. He's the Lord of the angelic forces. He's the safe place for our soul. And that's where we can find satisfaction. Amen? Well, as you leave today, there's a benevolence offering, which we take the last Sunday of every month. This offering goes to meet the needs in the community. So if you would like to give to that, the ushers will have baskets at the doors. And next week, we begin a brand new series called what's it called?
Over It.
Over It. I'm already over it. Over It. And it's going to be a great series as we talk about things that we're sick and tired of being sick and tired with. And we want to be over it. So it's going to be a great series. So join us Thursday or next Sunday. And if you would like someone to pray with you today, if you've got something heavy on your heart and you would love a brother or sister in Christ to pray with you, Come visit at the cross, and one of our great team would be there to pray with you. Encourage you to do that. All right. Well, tag, you're it. Have a great day.